a partial message. I'm not sure where I'm going to break it off just yet, but we're going to try and at least do a partial message here. And so in the afternoon service, we've been doing this series on things above. You know, the things above that we're to keep seeking in the scripture related to our position in Christ. And those things related to our position in Christ, since we're co-raised with Christ, we're to keep setting our frame of mind on those things. And, you know, those things make a big difference on how we see ourselves, how we go through the things that are here on earth. And so a couple of weeks ago in the series, we were looking at the believer positionally being made alive with Christ. And so we've considered a number of things related to our position in Christ so far. But today, we're going to introduce the idea that we've been co-raised with Christ. I will probably have to come back to that concept next week to finish this up. But we know it's by spirit baptism that we've been immersed into Christ. And so in Christ, we're counted by God the Father to have been crucified together with Christ, to have died together with Christ, to have been buried together with Christ. You know, and so this ties to our counted by the Father to be co-participants in the cross work in Christ. And then we mentioned already that we've been made alive together in Christ, positionally. And so we want to add to that as we go on, because we're also counted by the Father to have been raised together with Christ. And so we're going to introduce this subject today. Probably I'm not going to try and, you know, keep you here till dinner and give the full message. And so I'm going to try and break it up into two parts. But let's go ahead and pray, and we'll look at a couple of things that will set this up. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We're thankful for the opportunities we've had to be in your word, to share with one another, to participate in the remembrance of the provisions of grace. And we pray your spirit would continue to bless in this time, and we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so eventually we're going to be looking at a Greek compound word. It only occurs three times in the Greek New Testament. It's the word aigairo, which means to raise up. And it's in compound with another Greek preposition, soon. And so to raise up together. But before we get there, and that may be something I have to save until next week, I want to bring a couple things to mind. And so when we consider the cross work, when we consider, you know, the death of Jesus, you know, our Lord, he died a substitutionary death. And that's something that's important to keep in view. And so let's just look at a few verses that kind of emphasize that substitutionary concept in Scripture. So a common verse that I've gone to a number of times is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I usually like to read verses 14 and 15. I might come back to 15 at another time. Let me just read 2 Corinthians 5:14, though. Here Paul says, "For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge." Now, in the King James, you see the word "if," and there's a textual problem there. It's whether it's the "if" is there. If we keep it there, we could translate it "since." Some manuscripts don't have the "if," but it's just that if one died, it's just that one died on behalf of all. When I translate it, the word for, that in your English translation, it's the huperes preposition. One died in place of or on behalf of all. And then it just says, then all, just we're all dead or just all have died. And so the one, though, we know who the one who died on behalf of all. We can see that it's when that substitutionary crosswork is applied to us through believing the gospel for initial salvation that that substitution becomes personal. And so let me just go over to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, and I'll just pick up in verse 6 here. It says in Romans 5, 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died. Again, the King James says for. This is our huperes preposition. Christ died on behalf of or in place of the ungodly. He was a substitute. And he says, I'll just continue on. I want to get down to 5:8. Paul says, for scarcely for a righteous man, or just on behalf of a righteous man, will one die. Yet perhaps on behalf of a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Again, this huperes preposition that's translated for in the English, in place of or on behalf of. So while we were yet sinners, Christ died in place of us. He took our place. And there you see, Paul, he's speaking to Christians here, that crosswork has been applied. And so he did die on behalf of all, but it's not applied to all. Let's go over just a couple more. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3:18. And so now we're going to see the English word for sins, for the unjust. We have a couple times. They're not the same Greek prepositions here that they translated for in our other verses. One is a peri. It's generally concerning the first one. So let me read it that way. So for Christ also once suffered for sins. Just generally concerning sins. And then we have the just, just the righteous one for the unjust. Now this for is the huperes preposition, on behalf of. And so let me just read it that way. For Christ also once suffered generally concerning sins. The just one on behalf of unjust ones. So the righteous one in place of unrighteous ones, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, just made alive in spirit. And so again, this, and when we think of our Savior, he died a substitutionary death. And let's just go over to 1 John. 1 John in chapter 2. And let me just pick up in 2:1. And so here John says, my little children, or just my little born ones, term of endearment, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any, King James man would just translate it one, if anyone sin, We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And then in verse 2, and he is the propitiation. He's the propitiation for our sins. He's the propitiation, the place of satisfaction. It was a substitutionary work that was done on the cross. And when that cross work is applied to us, he becomes the propitiation, the place of satisfaction of our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so the work that he accomplished, the purchase price was sufficient for all. For all of mankind. Now, it's not going to be applied to all of mankind, but there's enough room based upon the work. It could be. It potentially could be. Now, when we come to the resurrection, and so I just wanted to point that out, because when we come to the resurrection, so first of all, he died a substitutionary death. Now, when we come to the resurrection is of Christ. It's foundational to the Christian faith. And so we can never forget that. A lack of the resurrection of Christ, that would indicate that the substitution wasn't sufficient. That the purchase price would be insufficient if there was no resurrection. So no resurrection, there's no Christian faith. It's that simple. Let's go to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. And let me just drop in verse 12. And so I'll just mention here, first class condition in the Greek. What does that mean? Well, assuming for the sake of argument, we could translate this if as a since. And so now, if or since Christ be preached, the idea of preached is proclaimed. Now, since Christ is proclaimed that he rose from the dead. Now, you don't see this in the English, but this is a perfect tense verb. Now, since Christ is proclaimed that he... Now, what does the perfect tense mean? You know, I know a lot of you don't have Greek. You don't have to have Greek to appreciate some of the nuances of the Greek, though. I can just tell you that a perfect tense indicates something that's happened, but it has abiding results going forward. And so sometimes when you hear someone from the pulpit, at least, in our circles, use the phrase stands, they might be trying to emphasize that there's a perfect tense here. The idea that since Christ has proclaimed that he stands as having been raised, or he's been raised with the abiding result that he stands raised. And so, he says, since Christ has proclaimed that he stands as having been raised out from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? you're contradicting the very essence of the good news. And so he's going to explain, the foundational truth of the resurrection is crucial to the Christian faith. And so he says in verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not in the state of having been raised. He uses a perfect tense again. And then we see, he says, and if Christ be not risen, by the way, another perfect here. If Christ hasn't been raised with the abiding result that he stands raised, Paul says, then our preaching, or just our proclamation, he uses the same word that I translated proclamation or proclaim in verse 12. It says, if Christ is not risen, is not in a state of having been raised, with, then our proclamation, he says, is vain. It's without content. It's empty. The word vain here is that kenos word, without content, empty. And then he says, and your faith is also vain. It's empty. And then we see, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. If this is the case, if Christ doesn't stand as having been raised, Paul says, then we are false witnesses of God. Because we have testified, we've witnessed, Paul says, of God that he raised up Christ. Now, this is just an aorist active, that he raised up Christ at a point in time, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And so again, he comes back, and if the dead rise not, in verse 16, then is not Christ raised. If dead ones are not raised, neither is Christ then in a state of having been raised. And so in verse 17, and if Christ is not raised, again, a perfect tense, if Christ is not risen with the abiding result that he stands raised, he says, your faith is vain. Now, this word for vain is different. This isn't kenos again. This is from matios, useless. Your faith is useless. It's worthless. And then we see, ye are yet in your sins. If he wasn't raised, you're still in your sins. The sufficient price wasn't paid. He died a substitutionary death. He could not have been raised if he hadn't met the righteous standards of God as paying the sufficient price in that substitutionary work. And so, believers, we would still be in our sins. But let's go down to verse 20. He says, but now Christ is raised. Christ is raised out from dead ones. And again, here he uses a perfect verb, passive, a perfect passive. Now Christ is raised with the abiding result that he stands risen. So he's in a state of having been raised out from dead ones. And he's become the first, not fruits, just the first fruit of them that slept. The first fruit of those in a state of fallen asleep. So the idea of first fruit, there's more to follow, more to come. And so, you know, when we think about the resurrection of Christ and its foundational aspect to our salvation, to our faith. And we can see this, you know, the importance of the resurrection. We can see this just in the gospel for initial salvation. You know, it's part of the portal, if you will, through which we went from being ones who were perishing to being ones being saved. And so that happened when we directed faith concerning our Lord for salvation. And so if we just go back to the beginning of the chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, let's just go back and look at these four verses. I'll point out a couple of things. And so we know this is the gospel, the good news through which we're saved. And so when we have the essence of the gospel, this is moreover, brethren, it says, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached to you, this is the verbal form, which I gospelized you, which I good news to you. He says, which also you have received, Aris, you received at a point in time, and by which you stand. And this word that's translated, and I'm just translated King James and wherein you stand, it's just by which you stand. And the stand, this verb is a perfect, by which you are in a state of standing. You have a standing with God by this gospel. And then we see in verse 2, and I want to point this out because here, now, the King James says, by which. This is in the Greek, this is the dia preposition, dia with the genitive. We're going to just translate, it's just through which. This is a portal, through. You know, when you pass through a door. There's a change when you pass through a door. So this, here we see, when it says, through which also you are saved. Going, this gospel, through which also you are saved. This saved here, it's a present passive. It says, through which also you are being saved. It's through this gospel, in other words, that we go. It's through this gospel and directing faith at this gospel that we went from one who was perishing to one being saved. And it says, through which also you are being saved. If you keep in memory, he says, the idea of memory, if you hold fast what I preached unto you, the idea of, this is our verb for gospel. If you hold fast the word that I gospeled to you all, unless you have believed in vain, unless you have believed, you know, with no result, you know, for no purpose. And so now when we get to verse 13, and we have here the essence, the clear and concise good news for initial salvation. Paul says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died on behalf of our sins. So the for our sins, that's a compare. Christ died on behalf of or in place of our sins, according to the scriptures. The scriptures are the standard of measurement of a substitutionary crosswork. And so Christ died on behalf of our sins. According to the scriptures. And we see, and he was buried. So this is a true physical death. The burial proves it. You don't bury somebody that was within a coma. This was a true physical death, and he was buried. And then we get down to this part dealing with the resurrection, and a lot of times this can be left out, and that he was raised. And now here. So that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. Now the verb here that's translated rose, it's another perfect tense verb. It's a perfect passive. And so that he was raised, or he stands as having been raised, with the abiding result that he is risen. That perfect tense. And so he was buried, and he is in a state of being risen. And this was the third day according to the scriptures. And we know, and he was seen of many witnesses. And, you know, Dave touched on this morning. The resurrection, that can be the thing that people will have a hard time with. Paul mentions this. Let's just go ahead and go over there. 2 Timothy. Paul talks about this, and he's trying to encourage Timothy here to, just do what God would have him to be doing. But in 2 Timothy in 2, let's see. Okay, I guess it would help. I said the right place. I just went to the wrong place. I went into 1 Timothy. That wasn't thinking my memory was failing me. So in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, in verse 8. So here Paul says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David. He says, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And that's a perfect tense. It's a participle. And so just Jesus Christ is in a state of having been raised from dead ones according to my gospel. And then here we see in verse 9, Paul says, wherein, or just in which I suffer trouble as an evildoer. That would be the thing that some would object to. That would be the, I won't quote Pascal with a camel and straw here. you know the saying that the straw that broke the camel's back. Well, sometimes the camel can break the straw's back. Anyway, Paul said, though, Christ was raised from the dead according to my gospel. He says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. That would be the thing that would set people in opposition to the message. And he says here, but the word of God is not bound. Now, Paul here is bound. You can bind the messenger, but you can't bind the message. What he's saying there. And we're reminded in scripture that, Christ was delivered for our trespass, but he was raised because of our justification. And so his resurrection is the approving stamp that the cross work, the perfect cross work, paid the perfect price. So let's just go over to, maybe let's go to Romans 4:25. Oh, excuse me. Good luck in finding that. Let's go to 4:25. So his cross work, though, it satisfied the righteous demands of God. And that concerns our trespasses, the perversities related to our sin natures, and our acts of sin. And so in Romans 4:25, we're reminded, let me just back up to verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, to the ones, to ones believe on him that raised up Jesus Christ our Lord from the dead, who was delivered, not for, I'm going to translate this as a causal, because of, it's dia with the accusative on account of, or because of, who was delivered because of our trespasses, and was raised again because of our justification. And as we've mentioned, we know, you know, from the last several messages in this series, that the believer positionally is a co-participant in Christ's gospel. And so why is that important? Why is that important? Well, that ensures also that we are going to be like him in his resurrected humanity. And so let's just go, let's go to Romans 6. And we'll pick up in 6:3. In Romans 6:3, Paul says, don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. We were immersed into his death. We're going to share with him in the crossword. It says, therefore, we are buried with him. We've been through this, the idea of co-buried with him through the baptism into the death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father. And I mentioned this when I come to this verse, the idea of glory is, the root concept is opinion. And the Father's opinion matters. And the Father's opinion is that the righteous demands of God were satisfied through that substitutionary cross word. And he was raised. And so when he says that Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life, in newness of life. Because God the Father's opinion of us makes a difference. And so here in verse 5, we have an explanation. And you have the explanatory gar in the Greek. When you see 4, sometimes that's a translation of this Greek word gar, and it's further explanation. And so in verse 5 and 6:5, we have that. For, if, or since, we have been united together. I'm going to translate the word planted, united. Since we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Where have we been united together in the likeness of his death? In Christ, in the opinion of God the Father. And so since we have been united together in the likeness of this death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. It's a guarantee. Now, where this message was headed, and we're just got the first part of the message done, I'm not going to be able to finish the second part. But positionally, God the Father sees this as such right now as being co-raised with Christ. And so we don't always feel like we've been co-raised with Christ. Yet we can understand that the Father sees us that way. And if the Father sees us that way, we can reckon what the Father reckons. Because as we saw in verse 5, since we've been planted together in the likeness, or we've been united together in the likeness of his death, we will in the future be in the likeness of his resurrection. It's guaranteed. We're going to be in the likeness of his resurrected humanity. Everything is in place. There's nothing that can stop it. And in fact, God the Father sees us as raised right now in Christ. And so we don't have to wait for the actual reality of it, because God the Father always sees things as they really are. He knows the end from the beginning. If he's applied the cross work to us, there's nothing that can stop our being in the likeness of his resurrection. And so when we come back to the application of this for present tense salvation, we can live in the light of this right now. And this leads us into this idea that God the Father sees us as co-raised with Christ. And this becomes important to how we see ourselves, how we reckon ourselves. And this would move us right into doing a message on resurrection life, this newness of life. And so, when I say positionally, the Father already sees us as co-raised with Christ. We have three places in the New Testament where we have that Greek compound word that I mentioned in opening, in the sunagairo. Soon, intimately together with, agairo, to raise. And so we've been raised up or co-raised together. And I'm not going to go there because I'm already past the time I would be trying to end. But that was the first part of the message. And so we will reset and readjust, and we'll figure out how we're going to get to the second part of this message, and we'll come back to this. But let's close. Father, thank you for the day. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for grace and the provisions and of grace. And we're just thankful that we can be seen in Christ, sharing in his perfect work, and be the benefits, be the beneficiaries of that work that's been applied to us. And may we be those that are living in light of those things. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen.